PFT Media.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong,
fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
And back to the Dark Continent to slice it up and give it a better look-see. We're heading back to Africa. It's After History. Welcome to Half True History, where we take the legends of yesterday and today and apply them to what we think probably happened. I am your professor for the evening, Dan P. Spinning the tracks over here is our super producer, Chris Crespo.
Hey, hey, guys.
And of course, as always, the Shaka to my Zulu.
Yes! I know that one. Stop eating my rice patties.
So, here we are again. Still waiting.
Waiting for
what? For the virus.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Waiting for the virus to stop. And I thought we'd revisit Africa. We haven't really been there since we did that Black History segment about 2 years ago.
I think it's about time then, yeah.
And we're gonna.
Was that when we did Kingdom of Aksum? Aksum?
Right, we did Aksum and the Mali Empire. We talked about them.
That was an awesome episode. I actually think about that episode a lot.
Oh, cool.
Like how Ethiopia like never got conquered and stuff like that, even though people kept trying. And
yeah.
So it was just like a bunch of great stories. It's a good episode.
But we're actually gonna revisit that section of history too, the Ethiopia in the 1800s here. Because we're going to look into the colonial period of Africa and why all of a sudden the European guns started turning towards the African continent by about 1850, 1860.
They discovered something.
Now, up to this point, Africa was a very developed series of kingdoms. We talked about that with Mansa Musa and the Mali Empire in the 13, 1400s, the Songhai Empire in the 1500s. You're looking at an area with a lot of resources and a lot of power and a lot of wealth. But just like the others, China and all of them, they don't adapt so well with the new technology, with the new wave of scheming that's going on in Europe, and they find themselves the victims when they saw themselves as originally allies to the Europeans.
This is another country that fell into like gunpowder, like they didn't get into
this is that gunpowder problem. And the reason for the problem, it all comes down to a very colonial version of corporate capitalism brings down Africa, or most of Africa. So, and of course, when we say Africa, we obviously know there's many kingdoms, many features, but most of them, most of these countries, most of these tribes are all going to suffer the same fate. So we're going to really just kind of make a more general thing. I mean, African history is very vast. You can go to every single in these individual countries and see how they all operate. And that's always, I think that's the hardest part for most historians, especially in the United States or in the West in general, is to not think of Africans as all one people. And that's really hard for us to do.
Yeah, especially because, like, with slavery, we wiped out so much of their regional, like, actual identity, and then they just get lumped up under African. Yeah, you're from Africa. They don't know we're from Africa, though, so that's our...
Yeah.
They don't have the luxury of being, like, Irish-American, Italian-American, and all that stuff.
Exactly. They had no idea what tribe they were even taken from half the time, you know, and that knowledge just didn't get passed down. So, yeah, we think of... And, you know, it's definitely a product of slavery in America. We just think of black as one thing because that's what we essentially created by making slaves mate with each other and like horses in America. So when we think Africa, we think they're all alike. We think just this one big continent operating as a country. And the Europeans sort of saw that as a similar thing in 1800. So one of the reasons, we go back to Pedro's question, though, is why gunpowder didn't really get to Africa. And I said corporate capitalism. The big name in Africa at this time was the new West African Empire, the Songhai Empire.
Songhai,
yeah. So they're another Muslim empire. They had recently conquered the Malis in the 1500s. And they are the exclusive, for back of better, they are the kind of exclusive provider of slaves to the Europeans.
What section of Africa are we talking about here?
West. We're talking about Mali, Ghana, the Ivory Coast, the Gold Coast.
Got it. Okay.
Right on the Atlantic. So they control the gold trade, and they are making a lot of money off the slave trade. Especially since the Spanish have now all this gold from Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
So all this more gold and silver starts to come in, and the Spanish are willing to pay a pretty high price for these slaves, and the Dutch are willing to pay the same price. Portuguese, English, French, they all start paying that money. And this is the problem when you get into a monopoly like this. If you don't diversify your portfolio, eventually your product is no
financial
longer.
Baby,
yeah, and they were making so much money off slaves they didn't really advance because there wasn't a need to. They were the most powerful empire in Africa, so no other African tribe was going to challenge them. They were allies with all the Europeans because they were the supplier of slaves,
so they gave all their workforce. Technically, they sold all their workforce to develop every single other country except their own.
Exactly. They were, yeah.
And they were diving into gold like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, pretty much. Big old dive there. And yeah, it was just the very few powerful slave lords, and they were making money, and so they really stopped any kind of progress. Why should other people take away that power? So they didn't. They really discouraged new industries from rising. It was the same problem that Latin America had in the 1800s as well, with the big plantation owners and the coffee and banana plantation owners. They didn't want factories and manufacturers to take away their power. And that's why Latin America slowed down in production compared to the United States. So Africa's going through the same thing. Because they had the technology, they had access to it. They were in contact with China, they were in contact with the Middle East, they were in contact with the Europeans all over the place. Europeans had guns galore. They would have traded guns for slaves if they had asked them to. But they didn't. They wanted gold, and they wanted the new rum that was coming from the Caribbean.
Oh, the rum.
The yeah. new rum, yeah. That new
high-quality Spanish-spiced rum.
That Bacardi.
So what were they doing with all their money? If they're making a lot of money with the whole slave selling thing, what are they just spending it right away? Are they building monuments to themselves and not investing in the future?
Themselves, a lot of them are super religious, so they're building mosques to show how religious they are and spending a lot of money on mosques.
Yeah. The Catholic Church was really good at that too.
Right. And then they're just expanding their own commercial enterprise. So they're hiring more and more mercenaries to go out and find more, capture more slaves from the smaller tribes. and this is working well. Europe is conquering Latin America. Europe is conquering North America. Europeans have conquered India. They've just beat up on the Chinese. We've talked about that in the Opium Wars. They conquered Australia. The Songhai Empire and the other African empires felt that they, because they had such a good commodity that the Europeans were using, they were untouchable.
Mm. They're just suppliers, so they're like, yeah, they're not, nobody's going to come mess with us.
Right. Why not?
Left that front door open.
And then a dirty, dirty word shows up on the African coast that's going to change everything. The term abolitionist.
Ooh, yeah. That's a dirty 10, 11-letter word? How many letters is that? That's a dirty word, man.
French Revolution comes. French Revolution comes. The new Radical French Republic bans all slavery in the French Empire. So now they've lost one customer. Haiti rebels. Haiti bans slavery in the Caribbean. So now they've lost two customers. England banned slavery in 1830. Spain basically doesn't ban slavery, but doesn't have the money to continue slavery because its empire is crumbling. So the only money they're making basically dries up, because even the United States, we don't let our slaves go until 1860, but we stop the slave.
Well, I thought you were going to say 1943.
Well, in the South, absolutely.
1860 probably, is when we did it?
I mean, 1860, I said. 1865 is when we made slavery illegal in America. Now, whether or not we treated people the same, that's a different story.
Yeah. Texas still did it like 3 years after, right?
Right. But even though the United States kept slavery until like 1860, the Juneteenth is what you were talking about. Yeah, Texas held on forever, 2 years after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. We stopped the slave trade with Africa in the early 1800s. So, because we figured out how to breed our slaves, essentially. We didn't need the Africans anymore.
Don't say we, but I know what you mean.
United States, right, not we. Yeah.
You're an American, Pedro.
I don't want none of that blood in my hands.
It's our blood. We were born into it.
I don't think, my family came over after all of it, but I'm, you know, not that they weren't racist, they just didn't own slaves.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When we say we're talking about the Americans, mm-hmm. had learned how to breed them, didn't need the Africans. So the money dries up. And the Europeans have now conquered China, and they've now conquered South America, and they've conquered everywhere else. And now they start turning their attention on Africa because they need more resources for their industrialization. And it was going to be a big war over Africa for the Europeans originally. It all started because Belgium went into the Congo. And that's that whole doctrine.
That's back in the middle, right? Congo's right in the middle.
Right. They went
Why
for the
would
Congo.
They go in there?
There were less Spanish and Portuguese ports because the Spanish and Portuguese were all over that West African Sahara area. So they had to go around that. And they get deep into the Congo. They get into the Niger River, the Congo River, and they start claiming things for Belgium. Well, France doesn't like them.
No.
And France says, wait. You're going on areas that we claimed a long time ago. We just haven't developed it yet.
The old waffle versus croissant wars.
Mm-hmm. And then they keep expanding. As they keep expanding westward into Africa, they're starting to enter areas that the British have a influence on.
Jeez.
Which is Kenya.
Okay.
And Egypt. So then that area, they're trying to control the Nile River, the English. So this almost blows up. This would have been the First World War. World War I would have happened in the 1880s over these resources. But the German prime minister at the time, the German chancellor, Otto von Bismarck steps in and calls a meeting of all the European nations in 1884. It's called the Berlin Conference, also known as the Congo Conference.
All right, there we go. We're at it.
Congo Conference is exactly what you think. Big table, big room, giant map of Africa. All the European countries sit there and they slice up the continent over who gets to conquer what. So there's no
war. Oh, it's the NFL draft. It's like the NFL draft kind of thing. So with the number one pick, Belgium takes Congo.
Yep. And that's
Congo, a resourceful country, smack in the middle of Africa. Surrounded by jungle, a lot of river connections, very flexible, a little bit of a boom problem.
A late trade. Germany has just traded the Ivory Coast to the UK.
Ooh,
for mineral rights. There we go. Yeah.
So yeah, everyone was invited except for any tribe of Africa.
Except for Africa, of course.
Wow. With a third pick, the Dutch will take South Africa and their flying sharks.
Oh, Pedro, that's going to be a solid pick, I think.
I don't know if you've seen the agility of these flying sharks, but they can get up to a helicopter, not yet invented in 1860-whatever.
Now, the Dutch have an interesting strategy. They like to separate their people. I don't think that's going to bite them in the ass at all later on.
No, it's always worked out great.
Right.
Yeah.
It's stretched in.
So it's settled. Who gets to conquer what? And if you can't conquer it, no one else can conquer it. It stays. You still have dibs on it until you're able to conquer it.
I actually kind of like that. I like that it's like no one else can swoop in. So at least that one area just has to worry about their one enemy. They don't have to worry about someone else. Theoretically speaking.
Yeah, so if the French want Ethiopia, that's ours. They get their ass beat. Nobody else can jump in and be like, all right, give me a crack at it. No, it's mine.
Exactly. And that's why Ethiopia stays the one country, one of two countries in Africa that does not get colonized because the Italians failed to take it.
Oh, Italians, look at that. I gave the L to the French.
Nope. The French get West Africa. They get the Sahara Desert, Algeria, Morocco.
Then yeah, Morocco.
That's why they speak French.
Morocco's a good spot, though.
Mm-hmm. They share half of Morocco with the Spanish, but they get the majority of Morocco. They get Casablanca. They get
Morocco. Paris. A lot of rich European go out there, right? To the what's that spot?
Marrakesh.
Marrakesh and Tangiers. Isn't Tangiers there?
Tangiers is over there. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, okay. That whole area is an ideal spot. And just north is the island of Mallorca in Spain. So it's a popular tourist destination for all.
But the Ethiopians fought off the attack.
Ethiopians fight off. And the other country that does not get conquered is Liberia. Also known as...
Okay.
Ebola Nation USA in the 21st century. And the...
It has the U.S. flag.
Yep, that's the reason it is not conquered, because they know that will start a war with the United States.
Really?
That country was created by the United States. Because...
What do you mean created? The United States just carved it out?
They bought a bunch of the land early in the 1800s, mid-1800s, and the original idea was, we'll free the slaves and send all the blacks back to Africa and give them their own country.
To the country that sounds like liberty, Liberia?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the idea. We'll free them all and send them back
to Africa. They did the Disney thing before Disney. Let me buy all this land.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to run it. I'm autonomous.
Yeah,
and we're going to get rid of all these slaves we had, and we're going to send them back to Africa. Dream come true.
It was the ideal northern white man's dream. Get rid of slavery and also get rid of the blacks in America.
And what happened there?
It fell through completely. The South wasn't willing to give up that many slaves, and then the operation just tanked.
But it was still Iberia.
Any of them?
It was, yeah, some went there, absolutely.
Some did, okay.
Yeah. So it's still this U.S. protectorate, so that's off limits. But everything else, up to you guys.
Yeah, you barely hear anything from Liberia.
Yeah, and that's it. It was just left to its own devices. So here's where we get the problems with Africa because of the European conquests. We know Africa, of course, we think of diseases, a lot of diseases in Africa. We think of malaria, we think of Ebola, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case in Africa until the Europeans arrive.
Of course, they're the ones that bring it.
Not that they bring it, they're the ones who set up the country like a European country.
No, we didn't have pox in the United States until they gave it to the Indians.
Right.
They brought all that disease.
So it's the idea here is now they want to set everything up as a European style so it's comfortable for them. And so the first thing, and for those of you who have played Civilization games on the computer, you always want to set your capital city near what?
Water.
Water, body of water, exactly. Rivers for transport or for farming, et cetera, et cetera. And they were like, look at all these silly Africans. They don't even have their major cities on water for trade. Well, there's a reason why the Africans never did that. Because they like to live away from all the mosquitoes.
Yeah, and the Nile crocodile. I don't know if you know about how vicious those things are.
Oh, they're going to find out. So they do exactly what they think. They build white man cities by these big bodies of water and get a bunch of people in it, like a big metropolitan city. Mosquito season comes, Ebola and malaria spread like wildfire.
Oh, no.
And it's been that way since because most of these cities are still the European cities that were established.
They don't got citronella candles or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. So most of these cities that we see today were created by the Europeans. That's why they're in such bad locations for Africa. Another thing was they just carved up the land that they wanted. This is why you have so many African tribes that normally didn't get along now living in the same country. And that's why we get the Rwanda problem.
Same thing happened. What was that episode we did on the Middle East that we had to re-record on the Middle East? They just carved it up without any care about who was already living there and like whatever animosities people had.
Yep. Right.
The new religion. So, wait.
30 years before they carved the Middle East. Yeah, they're carving up Africa, slapping tribes together that have not really talked in centuries. Different languages.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to them. They're all just using them, using their resources.
That's crazy, Rwanda. I remember watching that movie. That was that was insane, dude.
And they thought, so there were some humanitarians at the Congo conference. There was a rule, and the Germans laid down this rule. No slavery in the African colonies. You have to pay them. Okay. I don't care how much you pay them, but no slavery. But the way they worded it was that no state government can push slavery onto this country, onto their colonies.
Oh, these assholes are looking for loopholes.
What do you think? Of course. The king of Belgium, Leopold III, the man who started all of this, he decides that, okay, fine, I'll take the Congo, and I'll hire my own private army, not the Belgian army. So it's my own private property, not part of Belgium. And that's what he does.
Is that where de Klerk comes from, or is de Klerk Dutch?
De Klerk is Dutch, yeah. He's down in the South Africa area.
The Flying Sharks, okay.
Right, with the Flying Sharks. So Leopold basically creates this hell in the Congo. Slavery, and no one can touch him because it's his private property now. It's not the Belgian government's.
Yeah.
Mass slavery. You're looking at about 1 million people that die in slavery in these next, 20 years that he owns it or so.
Just because he just found a loophole.
Works him to death.
And none of these other countries say, yo, 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 yo. They didn't even try to pump the brakes?
No, because Belgium is an ally of England, and if Germany said something, they'd have to deal with England. It was going to be a whole domino effect.
Okay.
So he didn't play by the rules, but at the same time, he didn't not play by the rules. So that's how Belgium gets screwed up. It just knows tyranny. And finally, he dies. It goes to his son. He wills it to his son, and then his son's like, "Dad was a crazy person," and gives it to the Belgian government. The Belgian government officially ends slavery once they get it. But until Leopold's death, it's his own private slave camp.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, Africa's got its gold. It's got its resources. That's what they like. Yeah. The rubber trees, the good mahogany, all that stuff.
Yep. Cell phone pieces.
And then an English merchant buys a little bit of land in Africa. His name is Cecil Rhodes. He's going to name a colony after himself. Rhodesia.
Rhodesia, the super racist Rhodesia?
Yes.
Yeah.
He discovers that inside Rhodesia...
Wait, come on. Rhodesia's a country in Africa?
Yeah. Named after Cecil Rhodes.
Wow, I just learned that. I didn't even know that. All right. It's a racist, like...
Yeah. It's
tell me about this.
He definitely created a white class on top, and he was able to control all that power because what was under Rhodesia was something no one ever thought was in Africa: diamonds. And so he gets with his partners and sets up a huge diamond company called De Beers.
That's who I was thinking about.
De Beers, yeah. It's Cecil Rhodes and a bunch of Belgian and Flemish investors.
Wow, dude. I'm just looking at Rhodesia right now.
Yeah.
That's insane, dude. That dude, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Got the British flag and everything. All right.
Yep. And to this day, it's still screwed up. And the De Beers Corporation is the only corporation with a total monopoly on resources.
Mm-hmm.
Every diamond naturally comes from the De Beers Corporation.
Mm-hmm. No matter how much you try to boycott it or whatever.
Unless you get synthetic diamonds, you're always supporting De Beers.
Mm-hmm.
You're always supporting the blood diamonds. And that started with him getting little African boys to dig in the mines and everything. He's the one that created the warlords. He enticed the warlords. He's the one who gave them extra money if they produced more.
The Beers or Cecil Rhodes?
Cecil Rhodes, who was controlling
that
the
dude. Yo, that's...
Yeah.
Oof. He's the one that taught them how to, chop hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, dude.
This is the godfather of all these...
That opening scene on Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems? I knew you were going to say Uncut Gems.
That movie's, I liked it. My wife hated it, but I liked that movie.
It's
and I liked
movie.
Blood Diamond, too. Blood Diamond was a good movie.
Right. So, that's one of the reasons that Africa really just gets so screwed up for what it's about to go into in the 20th century is just the Europeans... totally segregating everyone, draining their resources, and it's not anything that they haven't done before to India and Latin America. But what they've done to India and Latin America, but what they did to Africa more is that they changed the infrastructure so much to be a perfect white man's paradise that it causes, even still today, waves and waves of malaria and Ebola and disease because they're still not supposed to be on those lands.
Yeah.
The Africans have always done the highlands, always moved around with the tribes.
Yeah. Not every single square inch is meant to be, populated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and even, and they just left a mess. They didn't leave anyone in charge. They didn't teach anyone democracy. And, when they left, it was in the 1940s and 1960s. It's the mess that we see today.
Wow. That's insane, dude.
Mm-hmm. So that's the legacy of the Congo Conference. All right. So we have a little bit of there for your Black history needs, you know, your African history needs. As we can see, just another victim of the European capitalist war machine, the industrialist war machine at that time.
Capital, colonialism.
I think it's effective, man.
Yeah.
It's an effective machine.
It worked there, so... I wish we could end this on a nicer note, a happier note. But that's how
Orlando it was. City's on the finals, baby. Woo! Yeah. Nobody cares about sports. That's fine.
I'm sure they care in the other countries where they can actually go to soccer games.
We got a lot of – no, dude, what country – which they're not letting people in any stadium as of yet.
In New Zealand, it's open.
It's about to be closed.
Oh, really? It's too much?
Yes. All right. They got two cases of COVID over there after 102 days.
Hey, pretty good, though. That's like one of those employee mistake calendars.
Yeah. You did 3 months there, New Zealand.
You did it. All right, come to Florida.
Oh, please.
So. All right, well, I check us out. Yeah, it's a good, nice 30-minute wrap-up here on Africa.
What's some good movies? Any good movies in related to this?
I mean, Hotel Rwanda is the best movie far as like dealing with the aftermath of colonialism. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mountains of the Moon. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's about the guys that discover Lake Victoria. But they got the furthest into Africa than any other like explorer at the time, and they get messed up by bugs and diseases and nature. It's awesome. It's a really good movie.
Yeah. If you like,
what's as far called? As
at the mountains of the moon, I think
mountains of the moon. Okay, yeah. As far as colonialism goes, not too many that I can think of. I know a lot of after colonialism great movies. You know. Hotel Rwanda, Blood Diamond, Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom. Those are all great examples of what happened after. And then if you want to watch Whitey get chopped up, watch Zulu.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
And Sean Connery, that's right? Always fun to watch that. What?
Is that Michael Caine and Sean Connery in that one?
Yeah, I think in Zulu.
Yeah.
And I think they were in The Man Who Would Be King as well at the same time.
Yes.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here. And, of course, check out Half True History, all our episodes. This is episode 50, isn't it?
We're on the
50 mark here.
Yeah.
Whoa, we made 50. Look at that.
It's our golden. So, hold on one second. Sorry, I have to. Yeah. Somebody 50th, our golden. So I think it's appropriate that we talked about the gold of Africa, I guess.
Yeah. Worked out well.
King Solomon's mine.
Would have been good at the 75th episode because that's the diamond.
That's the diamond. Oh, we can go back. We can always do that. Or we can talk about how Queen Victoria stole the Hope Diamond from India.
Oh, that's good. Mark that for 75. Yeah.
We'll do that.
Very good. So.
All right. Then, of course, all the other PFT shows are still running, still going strong.
Yes, they are. PFTmedia.com. Everyone go there and check out all the shows we got going. Either they're weekly or biweekly, like this one. But, yeah, everything's chugging along.
Yes. All right. Or in my case, whenever I find time to record.
Whenever he can get Brie out of her room and convince her to record.
Dude, it's not only that, dude. It's that, and then it's so much.
It's a lot.
It's a pain in the ass.
I understand.
And I just want to be able to like just record like three in a row and send it, but it's just.
You gotta get down to one of those.
Oh.
Just knock them all out one weekend or something.
Yep. And then weekend is the only time I get with the kids to do.
Yeah. Well, we'll pick a weekday then and just knock everything out.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for me, Pedro Lima, Chris Crespo. This has been Half True History. We'll see you on the next page.
Stop the music and go home. I repeat, stop the music.
A PFT Media production.